freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. Bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
August the 16th, 2016. My name is S.M. Gibson, and this is Anti-Media Radio. Going to have a little bit different show this evening. Usually we talk about people being displaced and some horrible, unfortunate things that are going on in the world right now, but we're talking about people that, you know, are on the other side of the world. A lot of the time, and I think for a lot of Americans, that feels so distant that they're like, oh, what can we do to help? Tonight we're going to talk about people being displaced here in this country. Unfortunately, the mainstream media hasn't really picked up on what's happening with our neighbors over in Louisiana. I'm not sure if you know, but over the weekend, they just had an insane amount of rain. I think it was 30 inches, somewhere around in there, approximately, over the course of 3 days. To put that in perspective, Los Angeles has only had 29 inches of rain. In the last 4 years. So it's a lot. So I want to go ahead and bring on our wonderful co-host, Shannon Madden. Shannon, what's up?
Living a dream, man. All day, every day. Yeah, that's a awful situation down there. It really is, and folks are doing what they can, banding together. But we've got plenty of show to talk about that, and actually have some anecdotes from people on the ground there.
Yeah, we're for anybody that's in the region, we're encouraging people in Louisiana to call tonight in Baton Rouge area and the surrounding areas if you were affected by this or know somebody, just to share your story and, you know, kind of share what you've gone through and make people aware of what's happening and that people are in desperate need right now. People are in need of help, and I think we can come together as a community and do our best and do what we can, even if it's in our own little way, to try to help the people of Louisiana.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And, you know, we talked LSU football on here before, I'm sure. Probably not supposed to, but I'm sure it's happened.
Now you're just pushing it.
Les Miles has been mentioned on this program at least once.
We are awfully close to football season to be bringing that up, right. So I'll just leave it at that. Roll Tide.
Real quick, I don't know if you do we want to talk about the other stuff going on right now? I highly encourage everybody to check out theantimedia.org, the website. Got a bunch of stories up today. I'm going to go ahead and go to a call right now. Thank you for calling Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hey, Sam. My name is Tom Anderson. I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Tom from Baton Rouge, how are you?
I'm just great. How are you?
I think I'm doing a lot better than most today, so I feel very fortunate.
Well, that's true. I think there are a lot of people down here having a very, very difficult time. That is true.
So your experience of what you've seen so far, just kind of share your story and what's going on in the Baton Rouge area.
Mm-hmm. I think just to bring people up to speed if they don't already know, we've had a significant 1,000-year flood event. That means that the probabilities of an event like this only happens once every 1,000 years. And essentially what that is that we received 4 trillion gallons of rain in a 48-hour period of time over a few of our counties, or we call them parishes. And our ground was already soaked, and I think it was around between 100% and 120% saturation. I don't know what the 120% means, because I figured 100% is enough saturation. But that caused for dramatic flooding. As far as I know right now, the estimates are in the neighborhood of 40 to 50,000 houses are underwater. An untold number of businesses, schools, churches, all kinds of facilities. Certain parishes, like Livingston Parish, is 90% underwater, so it's 90% of a population of, I think it's 138,000 is the population of Livingston Parish. So 90% of that population is underwater. So that's just one of many, many, many parishes. We, as of yesterday, we had 62 miles of the interstate closed between Covington and Lafayette, Louisiana. That's just an extraordinary thing to close down the main artery east-west at the most southern interstate. So supply chain evacuation became a problem. But we also had a lot of people on the road because it wasn't getting a lot of media. So a lot of people were still on the roads and were trapped with water ahead of them and behind them. So one of the major rescue issues was getting about 1,000 people off the interstate from flooded vehicles. And I think that operation was over as of yesterday. I do know they're still rescuing people as of today, but I don't think they're as critical path as had been before. They were using Blackhawks and private helicopters and airboats and all kinds of boats, what they call the Cajun Navy, out there taking people off of roofs or out their windows and bringing them to dry land. I know that we have 2 major shelters in Baton Rouge that are open. The first big one that opened was very surprising and wonderful. My offices, I'm a documentary filmmaker and a podcaster, so my offices are at the Celtic Film Studios in Baton Rouge, which is the largest film studios in the South, in Louisiana, Gulf South. And there's 8 sound stages. And they have been converted now into shelters. There's 3,000 people there, along with the National Guard. And I just spoke to General Russell Honore this afternoon, who's an old friend I've worked with for years. So it's all in good hands, but they've been making the tough transition from an immediate disaster situation where it's all hands on deck, and now it's slowly turning into more professionally managed emergency management, if you will.
Now, you've seen the chaos that happened following Katrina, or is it seemed a little bit more more managed better? If that's the
That's a really tough question, because the events are somewhat different, and I will point out the differences, but there are tremendous similarities, mind you, which I think I'm upset about. But they are different. With Katrina and hurricanes in general, you end up having, at worst, about 3 days, sometimes 5 days, sometimes even 7 or more, if you're looking out as they spawn off the west coast of Africa, of those of us in emergency management. I'm not in emergency management, but that have worked in disaster management, you have a big heads up about that so you can advanced position resources and supplies and things like that, because you know it's coming and you get the cone of certainty, or uncertainty, if you will. So you stage yourselves and you know what's coming. This, I think, caught everybody unawares. I mean, we knew there was a tropical-like disturbance. This was not a wind event. This was a rain event. We know that there had been a lot of rain events over the last couple of weeks. So we knew it was going to rain hard. I don't think anybody quite expected the kind of rain that we got. So it caught us quite unaware. So there, we were getting Friday night a lot of our alert systems here that there was going to be flash flooding. And we get those fairly regularly, but I don't think we've ever gotten them when the consequences came this hard. It came really hard and fast. What you got is a number of major rivers that are flowing down, going south into Lake Maurepas and Pontchartrain, that also may be somewhat tributaries through the bayou systems of the Mississippi River. And what you have is all of those rivers flooding at the same time, which is very unusual. You only get one or two. You get the Amite or the Tickfa or something going. One of those will go, but we never have seen all of them go at the same time. And that's because of getting 20, I think it's 24 inches of rain in that period of time, which is unprecedented. It's 2 feet. So it caught us off guard. Now, some things that are kind of frustrating, you got to give them credit, you know, since it came out of left field a little bit, you know, you're going to have a lot of chaos in the immediate response. Like with Katrina, we had a lot of people evacuating, and so before Katrina ever made landfall, there was a tremendous influx of people here in Baton Rouge. So we had a different kind of disaster. We had a couple hundred thousand people show up and have to stay. So our supply chains and our like sewer systems, water systems, were taxed and maxed, and then we got hit with a wind event up here. And then we had the evacuation problem, getting people out of the convention center and the Superdome. In this case, most people that were trapped or were in their homes and watching the river rise, and they did have evacuation orders out for people who could get them. But very early on, we lost AT&T, mobile provider down here, was underwater. We lost the switching station. And that's exactly what happened, I might add, with AT&T in New Orleans during Katrina. They had put their switching station or their major trunk, fiber trunk, at a ground level, and which I think was very unadvisable, but it flooded. And when that happened, we lost communications for a long time down there, because AT&T was also at that level of a trunk. They're providing communications for other carriers. So we lost AT&T here for about 36 hours. And to lose, and you know, I don't, back in Katrina days, you know, people forget, we all had mobile, but texting was not the thing. You know, the smartphone hadn't come out yet, so very few people texted. And those of us who went through Katrina, we all learned how to text during Katrina. And now we have a culture that doesn't know how to live without their smartphone. And you take away that cellular network, communication network, and so it became a very difficult problem, because people couldn't notify through 911 or through the social media that they were in trouble and needed help. So it made it a more classic search and rescue, where you had to go house to house to house to see if people were there.
I was reading over the weekend how there were a bunch of people reported missing because they all had AT&T.
I don't know that's a real, I don't know. I don't have any information on those data points. I would imagine that those people with AT&T, there must have been some that were unable to get through, like we were just discussing, and had to be discovered via traditional search and rescue. I have been told, and this is very, you know, not, I don't, it's a good source, but it's not a source that could possibly be wrong, but I was told this afternoon that, you know, those kinds of rescues for people who are really at risk, those operations have already occurred, and now they are in the process of rescuing people who are experiencing water into their house perhaps for the first time now because of backflow that happens when a river, it's like a slosh, right? The river goes down, has nowhere to go, so it's going to slosh back and settle a little bit. So even though you see the water going down, you go, oh, goodness, that God, that's going down. But then, you know, 4 or 5 hours later, it could come back up. So unless you have a lot of experience with things like this, you can be brought into a false sense of security, kind of like a tsunami. When the water goes out, you go, wow, the water's gone out.
Actually, hold on 1 second, Tom. I want to go ahead and go to another call now, area code 225. Thank you for calling Anti Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and I assume what part of Baton Rouge you're in.
I'm Megan Haney, and I'm in Baton Rouge, close to the border of Prairieville near Sissy Parish.
So what has your experience been like so far? What have you seen? What have you had to personally go through?
We have been very fortunate. We were without power for the weekend, but our neighborhood's been on kind of an island, so we didn't take any water, but the ways in and out of the neighborhood were pretty much every route to it was getting flooded. So we left Sunday for my parents' house because I have two small children, and we just didn't want to be trapped in case of an emergency. But we just got back home today, and we're fine, and power's back. But I've been kind of following the everything that's been going on social media, and I have a lot of close friends who've been very put out. My best friend, her house is underwater, and it was 10 feet off the ground, and her car's underwater, and she had to leave with her two small children who are 10 months and two. And the place that they evacuated to, her mother's house, they had to be rescued from there by a boat. And so she's pretty much without everything except for the supplies for the kids. And I've had several coworkers, one of my best friends at work, she had to be rescued by boat with her three-year-old. So we've been very fortunate in just my personal situation, but a lot of people that I'm very close to have lost pretty much everything.
Do you have a way or any way that you know to tell people if they want to help, if they want to reach out and provide some of this stuff?
Absolutely. If you go to the Red Cross website, they're taking donations, and you can specify that it's gifted for the flood in Louisiana, and they're doing a lot here. There's also several GoFundMe accounts, which if you like, I can provide to you, and you can put those on your webpage if you can do that.
Certainly.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, there's a couple more. You could do Catholic Charities Disaster Relief Services, which is doing a lot of work in Baton Rouge and the parishes around. And the Baton Rouge Food Bank was flooded, which is profoundly unfortunate, given that that resource is critical every day. And during a disaster, it's really critical. So I know that if people are out of town and want to do something direct that will have an immediate effect, is the Baton Rouge Food Bank is another great place to donate.
Absolutely.
So anybody out there that's listening, and another problem that I didn't even realize until I was talking to a friend of mine down there, black mold. And I know they need volunteers.
Yeah, there's been a lot of sharing on social media about what to do in the immediate release as soon as you can get back to your house after a flood, to make sure that you clean it out in such a way that it's actually salvageable. But, of course, if you've taken on, you know, 8 feet of water, that may not be the case. But some people have been, you know, it's only a foot, and their homes may be salvageable. I have some friends that their business took on a foot of water. So, but they've been in there today ripping up sheetrock and everything, trying to let everything air out and dry out.
Get back to the studs. It's like deja vu all over again from Katrina.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a displaced, I think something like, 20,000 people out of their homes. Denham Springs, 90% of the houses in Denham Springs have taken on water.
It's incredible.
It's been amazing. And then the shelters, I know the shelter at Celtic Media Studios, they opened their doors and created a shelter there. There's several churches across town. I'm going by Healing Place tomorrow to drop off some sanitary supplies for people. trying to do the kind of thing that, you know, people don't normally think to donate. But yeah, there's still everywhere the dire need of formula and diapers, clothes, just all that kind of basic stuff. But I know Red Cross, unfortunately, only can accept cash donations.
Like she said, we're very much in the response mode right now. Recovery is going to happen as people are able to get back to their houses. Many, many cannot. I mean, some of this water is not going to go down for 5 or 6 days, so those houses are going to be in the risk zone for that black mold
We're still in a backflow situation. Like, it's not done. Yeah. Like, some places that where the water seems to have receded, there's still backflow that may be coming back. So even it's receded from their homes, they're not even able to go back yet because they still might be at risk of a second flooding from the backflow, because the problem is that all of the water systems are connected to Amy River. I've got the Manchac Valley near my house. That was the biggest worry that we had, and all of those water systems connect and flow back into each other. So, and then once they get into certain areas, like I know Sorrento started flooding today, because once it gets out there, it spreads out onto a floodplain almost.
That's right. You're absolutely right about all of that. And I think one of the things that people haven't really addressed yet is that 70% of the homes that are underwater, estimated 70%, do not have flood insurance. So it's
right,
going to be a very...
Those are all areas. They're calling it a thousand-year rain. Like, this kind of event doesn't happen in every thousand years or so. So, like, these people never knew that they would need flood insurance. They were told they wouldn't need flood insurance. They've never flooded in that area before.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. I know they redid the floodplain maps not that long ago, because I know when I bought my house, I had to buy flood insurance. And then I was notified that we were no longer in the floodplain, so we didn't have to have flood insurance anymore for my mortgage, and we decided to keep it anyway. But I think there's it'll be interesting to see just how that comes into play with what you're talking about, because the areas that, like in Livingston Parish, a lot of those are very new developments within the last 10 years. A lot of that growth came after the people resettling from Katrina.
And then the school year just started on top of that, too, and there's so many schools in the area that flooded. Like, most of the schools in Prairieville, I believe, flooded. I think most of the schools in Denham Springs have flooded. We've got coffins that were floating through the flood because everything is so low here that they just came right up out of the ground, and they've been floating along, and people have been trying to retrieve them as best as they can, but it's kind of, you know,
it's
priority.
Well, I think one of the interesting points that you brought up is that the schools and things like that were flooded as well. So
the schools were all starting, like, in these couple of weeks, last week, this week, and next week, so we don't know where those kids are going to go.
That's right. So you have two problems. One is that those buildings that would normally be shelters, schools, churches, et cetera, were offline because they were flooded. So that created a new sheltering problem, which, thank goodness for Patrick Mulhern and all of his team, Aaron and everybody over at Celtic Media, that's where my offices are, actually. Mm-hmm. They stood up that incredible shelter, and I know that now they've opened up the River Center, so they're taking a lot more flow. So I don't know how many people are being sheltered, but as many as being sheltered in these large shelters.
I've seen two numbers today report. I saw 40,000 in one place and 70,000 in other people that have been displaced.
I think that's probably right in the formal shelter systems, I think, but I don't know if that includes, you know,
people
I have so many neighbors.
Family
15,
and stuff,
all the families that have 15 people in their house, which is exactly what happened in Katrina. You know, you ended up doing that because that's the right thing to do, but, you know, that if these schools don't open, I mean, these kids don't have a place to go back to school, you know, it's going to impact parents being able to get back to work and all kinds of things. I think we got a really big mess here that's a lot more complicated than the national media seems to give it.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying, the Red Cross finally said that they felt that this was the largest national disaster since Hurricane Sandy, and I think that's probably a good way to think about it.
Right, but since the storm didn't have a name, and because it's just not as sexy for the national media to be reporting on as, you know, we had shootings here a few weeks, like last month, and national media was all over that. And this happens, and we barely get a peep.
That's the problem.
So I figured if we called it
division, if they can divide people over it, then they're going to be all over it. But it's when they need people to come together, and this is a situation where we should all come together and help.
That's right.
And people have, like around here, yesterday morning, I had to go fill my car up before we tried to make it back home. And I was on the other side of the river where my parents live, in Brule, across the river from Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. And I saw so many more boats being hauled down the hallway and at gas stations than you normally even see. And you know nobody's fishing right now. You know all right. These guys are going out to try and help as best as they can. And everywhere I went, like, I saw people, like, filling back the pickup trucks with bottled water and diapers and stuff like that. So that's been really heartening. Like, even if we're not getting the national media response, people here are really, I mean, we have issues. I mean, Louisiana's always had issues. But whenever things get rough, we really, you know, we don't care who you are or what church you go to or if you go to church at all or what your politics are. If you're in need, you know, the people here really do step up.
I think that is absolutely nail on the head right there. This is the kindness and generosity I have seen in the last 72 hours is unbelievable. And I've traveled a little bit to North Baton Rouge today, and it's extraordinary, the care and decency everywhere. I love it. It makes me very, very proud of this community.
I'm gonna go.
I certainly wouldn't mind a little more resources coming, you know, but I guess it's coming.
You know, we've been sharing as much information as we can on social media, but that's been almost the only way that we've been finding out about everybody. Thank God for it, because AT&T went down, so people who are on the AT&T cell network haven't been able to use their phones for the most part. So social media, like, people, once they find access to Wi-Fi, that's the only way that we could find out where they are, if they made it out, if they're safe.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right.
I'm going to go ahead and go.
I think we're going to have a lot. I want to name the flood ISIS, but I figured then we'd get a lot of attention.
I'm going to go ahead and go to area code 850. Thank you for going to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
My name is Rick. I'm from Pensacola.
Rick in Pensacola.
Yeah, I really just called to disagree with one thing. Don't donate your money to the Red Cross. That money will never reach those people. They are notorious for embezzling money. There's a lot of local charities you can find on generosity.com. My friend just started Louisiana Flood Relief. You can go there and donate.
There are GoFundMe accounts that are starting to come up, so keep an eye out on social media for the GoFundMe accounts that are being shared for people's personal, like, families.
Yeah. Well, the one on generosity.com, that money does go to the people on the ground. All of it goes to it. It's not going to Red Cross with coffers. And so that was the only point I wanted to make, is because I worked with the Red Cross for a while, and I've researched them a lot, and I don't give your money to them.
We really appreciate the heads up. We really do.
There is a group in Baton Rouge. The Baton Rouge Area Foundation has set up a disaster relief, and all 100% of those funds will go through to people as well. So that's another one to think of.
The only local in the area no-kill animal shelter has been flooded and almost completely destroyed, the Denham Springs Animal Shelter, and they have a GoFundMe account. So if you go to GoFundMe and search for Denham Springs Animal Shelter, you can donate to them to help them set back up, because it's the only no-kill shelter in the area.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and go to another caller now. Thank you for calling Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and what part of Baton Rouge you're calling from.
Hi, my name's Christy Foshay. I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Christy, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, which is more than I can say for our wonderful state of Louisiana.
So what have you seen and experienced? Has your family and everybody made it safe?
All of my family is safe. My father's home flooded over the roof. We went by today, and we knew that it would be bad, and we walked in, and honestly, I burst into tears. It was worse than anything we could have imagined. My grandparents, who just paid their home off this year, he's been retired from the military for 32 years. It's a big deal. It's like awesome to pay your house off, and they got 2 feet of water in their house. So we were cutting sheetrock and pulling up floors. And the most amazing thing I've seen in this city is everywhere I've been, whether I was donating or volunteering or going to my family and friends' neighborhoods, is everyone is working hard and working together and with a smile on their face. They have nothing but the clothes on their back. They've lost their cars, their homes, their belongings, things that are just sentimental, can't ever get them back. And everyone is helping everyone, no matter their skin color or what they believe in. It doesn't matter. We're all coming together. It's amazing.
I mean, that's incredible, especially with so much divisiveness on the news now. and everybody exactly. each other's throats.
Exactly. You know, last month we had all the horrible shootings, and of course the media is going to, you know, find the negative and focus on the negative, and there's so many posts going around on social media, which I have been all over Facebook and Twitter, but there's so much going on that people saying that there's not enough media coverage because we are not, you know, we're all coming together. We don't need their help. There's no negativity here. We're all coming together, and so there's nothing to report, you know.
And that's sad, though, because there is something to report, that people are in need, and, you know.
Absolutely.
This is
what they should be
reporting
on. Absolutely, but that's not what the people want to watch, so that's not what's there. I've been on Facebook a lot, but I've also been on Twitter, and I Googled the Louisiana flood of 2016 about an hour ago, and there's things on CNN and ABC that are 5 days old. That's insane to me. It's mind-boggling. We have 30 parishes underwater. We have Ascension Parish in Sorrento. These places are still in water right now. They're still flooding. There's 9,500 customers that are about to be without power because the energy station's about to be underwater. And none of this is online at all, like, or on the news, anything. It's crazy.
Well, I saw one of the sewage treatment plants is about to go offline. One of the water treatment plants is about to go offline, too, because it's becoming underwater.
Exactly, exactly. There's water treatment plants, there's boil advisories, but then these people who have boil advisories, there's no power.
There's nowhere to boil anything.
There's nowhere to boil anything. The shelves, I was in Central today helping my family, and every hardware store is out of everything. They're out of water, they're out of totes, they're out of hammers, they're out of sheetrock, they're out of absolutely everything. And with the interstates, I know some, most of them are open now, but with the interstates being closed, there's no way for supplies to get here. It's
That's right.
insane.
Exactly. It's not just the interstates, all of the through streets to get to the grocery stores. The grocery stores are starting to be depleted, and the shelves are starting to be empty because the distribution routes for, you know, the different companies that bring things to the grocery stores are being interrupted, so they're not being able to refresh in order to get food to people here who can still get to grocery stores to buy it.
Exactly, exactly. I have a friend who, you know, some homes, you know, didn't flood, but they're surrounded by water, so they can't leave their neighborhood. They haven't been able, there's no food. They're stuck in their home for 4 and 5 days, and they have no food. It's insane. And people are still being rescued by boat. I mean, the National Guard is here. Everyone is here. We have our citizens taking their personal boats out, rescuing people. Like, that's amazing.
And they've encountered some friction from the local government for that. They had to do a little bit of fighting in order to get through to do that.
That's unbelievable that the government would put up a fight because people want to help people.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go on. I'm sure there's regulations, and I had a neighbor go out. You know, at some point, some of the neighborhoods were so full of boats that people couldn't even get around. But that's, I mean, who can say that? Who can say that their shelters are full and that at one point Celtic Media, I mean, and it's on and off throughout the day, but donations are full, and then about a couple hours later, they're out of donations. I mean, it's crazy that
I'm not sure. Have you heard about the Parkview Church debacle that went viral the other day?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, a family went up to Parkview Church while these folks, what they posted basically was that they went to, they had heard Parkview was being a shelter, so they went to go donate things because they heard that Celtic Media Studios was getting kind of overloaded. So they went to Parkview Baptist to donate, and a family walked up and asked the guy that was donating if it was a shelter, and the lady who worked at Parkview, who was helping them unload, said, "Oh, I'm sorry, this is just for Parkview members only." And they ended up having to take down their Facebook page because they got so much backlash from it. They kept saying that we didn't turn anyone down while excusing that they were turning people down. And, yeah, I'm sorry?
I hadn't heard that, and if that's true, that's very sad.
Yeah, they ended up having to take their Facebook page down because they were getting such bad backlash. They were deleting comments like crazy. I even commented, you know, the quote from the Bible, that, you know, whatever you did not do for the least of my people, you did not do for me, and they deleted that. They deleted a Bible quote.
I'm going to go ahead.
A church.
I'm a caller now. Thank you for calling Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and what part of Baton Rouge you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Phaedra Thomas, and I live in Villa Del Rey, which is a subdivision off of Florida and Sharp in Baton Rouge.
Wow.
So you're by the Amy?
Yes.
Yeah. The Amy Carson, I think it was Monday.
Yes. It actually started sometime around, we were told, Sunday. We evacuated Sunday, early Sunday morning, but we were actually fortunate. Nothing happened other than standing, a lot of standing water for us. But the end of our street, actually, they received a lot of damages to their homes.
What?
I'm so sorry.
It's just terrible. Is your family been okay?
Yes, my immediate family. I live with my parents and my son. We're fine. Nothing happened other than a scare. But my brother, he lost everything. He was on Greenwell Springs. He lost everything. Mm. And also my brother's ex-wife, which is where my nieces and nephews live. They live off North Flannery. From Florida now, Florida, and they're trying to salvage as much as they can, but they think they have a total loss as well.
Good.
I was in that area yesterday. I went out and took some pictures, you know, as far as you could get, because the roads are still flooded, and that area was absolutely awful. Driving around the city will just bring you to tears.
Yeah, it definitely. Definitely,
people walking around hauling supplies from grocery stores and things, knowing that, you know, their cars have probably been submerged and they're just trying to get some food.
Yeah. It's devastating. It really is. It's gut wrenching. It makes you really grateful for a lot of things. And I had some people who were telling me, former coworkers, they lost everything as well, even their pets. And we were fortunate enough to see what was going on, and even if we had lost things, we had like at least a week or two worth of clothes, and I was able to bring my dog with me as well. So,
man, that's
cool. Oh, that's wonderful.
That's awesome. I know there's only a few shelters where, you know, victims can bring their animals, so that's a big deal.
Yeah, I know one lady that had to spend the night pretty much under the overhang outside of the church with her dog because she couldn't find anywhere. So she had to spend the night outside with her dog because she couldn't find anywhere to take her in, which that was actual shelter.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And just for...
I know Celtic's taking animals.
A reminder for everybody. Christy, can you tell us who they can contact so people can reach out and help?
There's lots of places. I know Baton Rouge Area Foundation has raised over $100,000, and they are going to give that money to nonprofit organizations that will go directly to victims of Baton Rouge. A friend of mine who owns a coffee shop here in town, her name is Gabby Higgins. Her coffee shop is called Brouhaha. Her and I have started collecting Amazon gift cards or gift cards of any type, and we are going to ensure there's about three other people, and every barista that works for her are going to make sure that those funds and Amazon money goes are used to purchasing.
It looks like, sounds like we lost Chrissy. Did we lose anybody else?
I'm sorry. No. Go ahead.
I know that Red Cross does great things, but they are known for moving their funds around, so we may not see the money that is donated there.
I encourage
so when
people
you,
to donate locally and help the best they can.
That's right.
Yeah, like I said, I'll send you links as best I can for local organizations that are, but I just don't know any off the top of my head right now.
I think there's another organization that I'm familiar with, the Center for Disaster Philanthropy, which is in Washington, D.C., but it was founded by Lori Bertman, who's the CEO of the Pennington Foundation. And they've set up a fund specifically for funding South Louisiana flood folks. So that's Center for Disaster Philanthropy.org, and there's a Southern Louisiana fund. So in addition to BRAF, you know.
We've also gotten a great response out of New Orleans. The people from there have been.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's been a back and forth since Katrina, because
you know, so many of them ended up here, and a lot of them ended up having to stay, but, I mean, many went back. But I have a friend who works at the American Sports Saloon in French Quarter, and they pretty much dedicated that restaurant, you know, to taking on supplies. They put out on social media best they can. We're going to get prescriptions for people who are at the shelters and getting them to them. And they've listed the supplies that they need. So if anyone's in the New Orleans area, I know the folks over at American Sports Saloon are taking in physical donations, not just money and supplies to bring to the shelters.
Yeah. Another couple organizations, City Year, is doing a lot of volunteer work when I saw them up in North Baton Rouge today. And Evacuteer, which is an organization that stood up after Katrina in New Orleans. They're going to be coming up with a team of people. So you're right. The folks from New Orleans have just been kind of phenomenal.
Yeah, they've been amazing.
We've got you back and we're on our way, you know. So,
yeah,
they've
agree been amazing. With that. They're just, we know where you are.
Exactly.
We've been there and we're going to help.
Exactly.
It's just, I will say this, if there's a silver lining, it's great to see people coming together, especially in, like, you know, what we see on TV every day. It's nonsense. It's crazy. So I think if, you know, if there's a positive to come out of this, it is seeing community.
Well, it just kind of goes to show you the world is not as bad as everyone wants to make it out to be.
That's right. And one of the biggest strengths of Louisiana is its community. I mean, there is something special about Louisiana. This state, the families are strong, the communities are strong, they mean it, they're generous, they're hospitable, they really care, and when they say they're going to help you, they do. I mean, it's really one of the finest things about living in Louisiana is the quality of the human beings here. So when things like this happen, it brings out just the best of everybody, and it just makes your heart break a little bit. Every once in a while, you go, my God, look at the kindness and generosity and love I'm watching. It's something to remember. It's the best thing about these kinds of events is being reminded
Absolutely.
Just how great human beings can be.
So. Absolutely.
Definitely.
I know that, you know, Louisiana is known, I think, for maybe some of the reality TV shows, and it makes us look like talking, and I'm going to
tune up it.
Yeah, but that is, you will never find better people than in this state. So it's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, it really is. It's like, let's get out the gumbo pot. We're having 20 people for dinner. You know, it's
absolutely. Somebody's got a gumbo pot big enough for everybody.
I definitely have great meals in Louisiana. Oh man,
that was the first thing. The first day that everything happened, and the first day that Celtic Studios opened up. Me and my husband brought a huge load of donations up there, and we saw a local friend of ours who's a chef who owns Culinary Productions here in town, and he was cooking the biggest pot of jambalaya I've ever seen in my life.
People that have never been to Louisiana, it is a complete
old. You can feed a lot of people with jambalaya and red beans.
Exactly.
Jambalaya and red beans have saved my life on a couple of times while I was in New Orleans, and I'll just leave it at that.
And it is still saving people's lives right now. So
That's right.
Now, I do want to say, addressing national media outlets, the Washington Post has actually covered more of what's going on here than any other nationally known outlet that I've seen, and I'm really grateful to them for that, because we've kind of felt like we've been in a blackout otherwise. But I am disheartened by some of the comments I see. And you saw it after Katrina. Why would you live somewhere like that? And
I know.
And first of all, we just said a lot of why we would live somewhere like that. But on top of that, I mean, here, like, it's completely unprecedented.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I mean, we were pretty much told Friday, hey, there's going to be heavy rains. That's it. Like a hurricane, you have some notice. And you have, you can be able to give an evacuation plan. But for this, I mean, it just sprung up on everybody. People woke up in the middle of the night that never knew they were never flooded in that area in, you know, centuries, and, you know, put their feet down to get out of bed, and they put their feet down in the water.
That's right. And we have to remember, this is the Mississippi River. This is one of the most important features of the North American continent for commerce and trade, and has been for centuries. And that's why people live here. you know, and it's because 40% of all the food grown in this country goes through the port of Louisiana, port of New Orleans. So it's
absolutely, and not only that, the energy that we produce here between the natural gas mining and the oil, especially, like many people here work on the oil rigs. I mean, a lot of people want to talk about oil coming out of the Middle East. No, we provide a lot of the oil that goes through most of the United States.
I want to say, too, as far as the media goes, we are going to have a story come out tomorrow that's going to have a list of all the different places that people can go donate. And,
oh, that's awesome.
And we're going to try to put everything collectively together. It's going to be on the antimedia.org. And the, right now, I know there's a, for anybody that wants, there's a Facebook group people are getting together on.
There's a few.
Yeah, I know there's
there's several. Quite a few.
I'm sure everybody.
Well, it's with the phones being down, that's the only way people have been able to get in touch with one another.
That's right.
Yeah, as much as I hate social media sometimes, and in times like this, I mean, it really does pull people together.
It's a godsend, yeah.
Media done right. I love it.
That's right. It's a powerful thing. It really is. It's a very powerful thing. It's changed how we respond. Before social media and having smartphones, for those of us who remember Katrina, we were flying blind. We did not know what was happening 5 miles from our house. We didn't know what was happening a mile from our house. And now immediately, you know.
Even in Baton Rouge after Katrina, I remember there was a day or so we didn't know that Slidell still existed.
I know, it's true. It's unbelievable.
And the way that the media has reported on this, I don't think anybody in the country would even have a clue of what's going on with that social.
Well, I've been asking people who, I have friends who are out of state, I have friends who are out of country. My friends in New Zealand, Australia, and Scotland all saw this on their local media before my friends who were in different states in the U.S. did.
Yeah, and that's the BBC's been reporting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and The Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends from California who are in Australia right now. They're actually authors, and she called me up on Saturday and said, whoa, what's going on over there? Her family in California had no idea what's happening here, but she was in Australia, and their news was reporting it a little bit, and I thought that was crazy. I know it's been all over BBC News, which is mind-boggling that they're covering it, and you know, ABC, NBC, CNN.
Yeah, our friends from out of state are finding out from us.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen the BBC. They've been all over it.
Right.
And the Weather Channel.
And PBS tonight and last night is reporting it.
Now, I assume, though, the local news, are they, does it even matter what they're doing? Or are they just?
Oh,
they've pretty much taken over the local news.
All of them. They've been fantastic about it. They've been our only source because nobody's handling it on the national level, you know.
Right. No, our local news stations, which I'm usually not a big fan of, I don't even have cable, so I normally don't keep up with negative news.
Right there with you.
but they are doing a fantastic job of keeping everybody informed. So
they've been on the scene pretty much everywhere that there's an incident.
That's right. Thank God for them. Yeah, they preempted a lot of stuff.
The first thing I saw come across was the video of the lady getting pulled out of her car with the dog.
Yeah, that car. Yeah.
Oh God, that was heartbreaking.
That was awful. Just
the images. Tigerland.
Yeah, and if you go on social media, the images, we're the ones that are sharing all the images of like the drone footage that's showing what's going on in the area, the pictures of the rescues, the videos of the rescues. We're the ones sharing that.
The
national media is not the one. They're not showing anyone the images of what's happening, and if you see it, you just want to cry.
Well, a good thing that I learned and I've forgotten, and I can't believe I forgot it, but you have to change your settings to just friends to public. And when you do that, it goes out all across Facebook.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's only there to your friends. So we've got to get that word out everywhere.
And just so everybody knows, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go on.
No, I was just saying, just so everybody knows, at least right now, one thing I know of, if anyone in the area is listening to this, I know that Blue Cross at the moment is allowing for extended prescription pickup because they know that supplies are limited and that transportation is limited. So they're allowing for people to pick up, you know, several months worth of prescriptions where they may have only been able to get 1 month at a time. So if you have Blue Cross, please be aware of that.
That's not including narcotics.
I know that for a fact.
Oh, that's a shame.
You know, I can't get my 90-day supply of Xanax? Oh, God.
No, I'm sorry.
No codeine? Dang it.
Dang it.
This message has been brought to you by the FDA.
Speaking of social media and putting everything on public, my profile is normally set to private, just for personal reasons. I probably have over 1,400 friends, which those are close friends and acquaintances. I turned my profile public on Sunday, and I made all of my posts public, and I started a Facebook group. A friend of mine told me, hey, you know a lot about other, you know, donations and volunteering, and you're posting so much, why don't you start a group? I said, okay, whatever, I'll start a group. I have over 900 people in this group from
all
over. Hey,
what's the name? I want to join.
Flood relief donation volunteer group, and we can change the name. That's just a generic name. When I started it, I had no idea what to call it.
Good for you.
No, that's true. That's right. As soon as I hang up, I'm joining.
Yeah, me too.
But it's just a post. I have friends who are volunteering 24/7, and everyone is allowed to post in there where to go, where to volunteer, where to donate, what supplies are needed. The address for the coffee shop where people can have Amazon, you know, the Amazon Pantry Prime, people can have things sent to that, and we are distributing them all over town. So
while we're bringing that up, can I get you to go ahead and give us that address now on the air?
Sure. The address for Brouhaha is 711 Jefferson Highway, Suite 2, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806.
And so anybody who wants to donate any kind of supplies, pretty much everything is needed.
Do they have a PayPal account set up or anything like that?
We are working on that. We just decided to have things mailed there today. I'm meeting with the owner tomorrow. We're going to come up with a PayPal account. We're going to create an Amazon wish list for things that are needed where people can go on there and just order brand-new packs of underwear or toothbrushes or toothpaste or deodorant, and they can just ship them straight to that location.
Another thing I want to put out is something that people don't necessarily think to donate. They think of diapers and wipes and everything, but feminine sanitary products is the kind of thing that people don't necessarily think to donate. But in a situation like this, that could create a serious medical problem for a lot of people, so please be aware that, you know, a lot of shelters are needing those types of products as well.
And adult depends.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the kind of thing people don't think about, they don't want to think about, but it's very necessary for the hygiene of these areas where they're trying to help people out.
That's right.
There is a long list in the group that Christy just mentioned. I think that Aaron posted in there. Am I right about that?
Yes. Somehow he found me. I don't know, which is amazing. And he's added people. I have people. Keep the post coming. Keep adding people. Put it out there.
So, yes, please, anybody out there listening, I'm not one to ask people to do stuff ever, but this is a time.
You ask me to do stuff all the time. What are you talking about?
That's more telling or demanding.
Yeah, you trump it up.
Yeah. Well, you got to. So, anyways, please, the people of Louisiana need your help right now. Anything you do, as small as it may be, this is people that overnight, like, they went to bed and woke up and everything was gone.
Yes.
That's right.
I mean, there was no warning, just they went to bed and woke up and was gone.
Well, they just told us there would be some heavy rain, which is, you know, nothing new in Louisiana for some rain.
Yeah, that's old hat, especially at this time of year. And then on top of that, there's two storms in the Atlantic right now. So if the water doesn't drain before they come this way.
Yeah.
I don't want to borrow trouble, but that's the kind of thing we have to have an eye out for.
That's right. Get prepared. Always be prepared.
I mean, this is an important lesson of being prepared, at least for
we
you.
We all Boy Scouts.
Yeah. Have a grab and go kit, you know. Exactly. Or at least, put, you know, scan your most important documents. Put it up on the cloud somewhere so you can always have it no matter where you are. So those important phone numbers, you know, your account numbers for insurance and all those things that may be
well, and then pictures and documentation of damage that you have. Put that on the cloud. Make sure you have that whenever, because FEMA is starting to accept applications right now.
Yes, they are.
So... They're allowing for starting to do emergency SNAP benefits for EBT for people who've been put out by the storm as well.
The disaster food stamps are out right now. Their website has been down for 2 days, so I think people are going to the office to line up. Hopefully, their website is back up. I read earlier that over 60,000 people applied for FEMA assistance already, which blows my mind.
It's incredible. Yeah. There'll be more.
It's still flooding out into areas like Sorrento and Santa Monica. They're just starting to take on water like today.
That's right.
Exactly. So it's only going to grow. I think we have 30 parishes that have been declared a federal disaster.
State of emergency,
That's incredible. And let's not forget that the parishes that are north up near Shreveport got hit this spring, and they're still dealing with it.
Uh-huh.
You know, the whole state's been a little bit underwater.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, what they're saying is
definitely for those who cannot go to work. For those of you who can't go to work, I worked for Louisiana Workforce Commission from November to June, and when they did the March flood, it was a lot of paperwork that they needed in order to get those unemployment and so it's a lot. So if you cannot get to work or your job is going to be out of commission for a while, I advise you to
unemployment fund too.
I do advise you to get on it because it is a lot that you have to do, and they give you so long to do it. Or they have to close the case. So
That's really good advice. That's very good advice. You know, so I mean, getting on it as soon as you can, because also there's a delay in the then if you file, it doesn't mean you're going to get a check right away. It takes a little while to process.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So it took some people like 2 months to get the first one.
Real quick,
when people were applying, they said, "Well, what's your address? Well, don't send me my check there because you know I'm not there anymore." You know,
right.
So there's a lot of that. It's tricky.
Well, guys, really, really quick, because we've got 3 minutes left in the broadcast. I want to get that address of where people can send any and all supplies to one more time. Chrissy, can you give us that that address?
Sure, it's 711 Jefferson Highway, Suite 2. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. And again, everybody, get on social media, start checking out different places you can help out. There's just so much that we can do. And even if it's just, you know, picking up a pack of toilet paper for $1 and putting a stamp on it. I mean, it's something you can do.
Exactly. It can all be used.
Is UPS or FedEx doing anything? I have meant to look that up and didn't do it. Where you can send stuff. Sometimes they'll do that. They did do it.
Sometimes they'll do that, yeah.
I know the Tide trucks are on the way to start helping assist the shelters with washing clothing.
And the shower trucks, too.
They're at the River Center downtown helping with the Red Cross.
That's fantastic. And I can't wait to meet my fellow Baton Rougeans here and buy them all a drink. Next time I see him.
I'm all set.
And that's great time in your video.
Yo. I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo, stereo.